Your Health is supported by the North Carolina Cancer Hospital, serving you with innovative research and unequaled care. UNC Healthcare is leading, teaching, caring.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, presented by 97.9 The Hill and UNC Family Medicine. Your Health, providing practical health-related news and information for our community. As Drs. Page and Goldstein specialize in patient care at UNC Family Medicine. And now, Your Health on 97.9 The Hill and on demand at chapelboro.com.
Welcome to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health, supported by UNC Healthcare. I'm Dr. Adam Goldstein, and on our show today, as well as our show next week, we actually have some special shows. It's a little bit bittersweet, but these are our last two episodes in the current format, as we know, of Your Health Radio. There are changing priorities within healthcare, and we need to equally be willing to understand and work and make changes as well. I think these shows are ways that we can really show gratitude to Your Health listeners. We can show gratitude to those who've helped bring this show to a region, to a state, to a country, to syndicated radio stations, to populations that listen to it wherever and whenever they want. And hopefully those listeners who've been able to use the information that we've provided and make changes in their lives. On today's show, we're going to do a couple things that hopefully will be interesting to our listeners. I'm going to take the opportunity at this first segment to talk about how we, over the last 12 years, picked research that matters, how we really came to understand what that segment really means to listeners. We'll have also a really opportunity with one of our great guest co-hosts for the last few years, Dr. Stephen Hooper, to have a conversation. Then at the end, I'll be able to bring our great executive producer, Laura Lacey, to talk about how the house call segment, how did we really come to do that segment, what that meant, how it works, how it really informs the kind of practice and types of questions that we get and the answers that we are able to derive. First, a little bit about the research that matters portion. We decided when we first began to produce Your Health that we wanted to help listeners understand the amazing scientific research that occurs on a daily, weekly basis around the world, and how to pick and choose articles that, if indeed the answers were what the author said they were going to be, that they could make a positive difference in one's life, or in some cases, maybe if the answers were what the author said they were going to be, by stopping to do something instead of starting to do it, it can make a difference in one's lives. In essence, research that would make a difference. And we poured over the scientific literature to really kind of cull it down to four that might make a difference. Sometimes they were things that were really pretty obvious. If you were to get more sleep, it was better for you. But the interesting thing about sleep is there's so much important research that would show us that this was a cumulative impact. And we would see this in research in other fields and understand that the importance of sleep to overall physical health, the importance of sleep to mental health, the overall importance to executive function, how one thinks and acts, critical ways. So we continue to, when we would see research on things like sleep, we would want to bring that forward. We would also see research frequently on advances in cancer. If there was a new drug, if there was a new diagnosis, a new screening tool, we wanted to bring that forward. Sometimes it might be a year away or two, but if it offered hope, we wanted people and our listeners to know that this could be part of the conversation. Frequently, research that matters was things that were in the news, such as vaccinations, the increase in measles, people who wanted to really discourage vaccination use. And when there was research that had to do with this cutting edge between what's known, what's not known, or cutting edge between what we know to be true and what others maybe deny, we wanted to have that conversation. We didn't want to shirk away from that conversation. Oftentimes, the research that matters was difficult. It might be about suicides that were on the increase and continue to rise. It could be about opioid deaths and really the depressing statistics that showed them rising each year until most recently we start to see them decreasing. But many times, that type of research could also be personal. I had so many patients that had family members that either had suicides within their families or had relatives that had died from opioids, that I felt a certain obligation to reflect that in our research that matters. Sometimes they were really about exercise. We all know how important this is, but I became so convinced the more research that I continue to see and read about the benefits of exercise. And so we would see research that shows that the exercise can be done at work, it can be done at a classroom, it can be done at home, it can be done in small time periods of several minutes, it could be done longer time periods. It doesn't mean that the longest is the best, it doesn't mean that the most intensive is the best, but it does mean that everyone needs to start being more active. And we found out that the research would show us that it wasn't just the aerobic physical activity, it was also the strengthening. It was also the balancing act. It was the type of flexibility. So when the research would bring this to us, we would bring that to our listeners. We would really talk about medications. This was not a show that was about pharmacology, but yet we saw so much research that showed that so many medicines cause so many adverse effects for so many people. And when that research comes out, we felt an obligation that we should bring that type of research to our listeners, not necessarily about any specific drug, though sometimes that would be the case, but more likely to understand that things like acetaminophen or things like aspirin, which are great benefits, but also these are potent medications. Even herbal medications can be very potent. So we want our listeners to have a heightened sensitivity. Ask your doctor about any medication that you're taking, any medicine that you've been on. If something's happening to you and you are worried about a new side effect, something else that's not right, think about those medications. Certainly Alzheimer's disease, something we're really sensitive to, as well as any chronic progressive disease like dementia that affects so many of our families. When new research comes about that shows that lifestyle can affect Alzheimer's risk, and when people can lose weight, they can quit smoking, they can control their diabetes or prevent diabetes and be physically active, and we can lower Alzheimer's risk, that's great research. Research that can be implemented with really essentially no side effects, but almost limitless benefits. We wanted to tackle research that was about children. We wanted to tackle research that was about pregnancy. It really could be anything and everything. Sometimes the research challenges us to rethink what we think we know and to maybe do things differently. And I think our research that matters just allowed us to think about and to talk about anything that matters. If it matters to us, we hope it matters to you as our listeners. And I think one of our lasting legacies we would hope for the show is that our listeners will continue to search for the research, continue to be aware and listen and challenge others about the research that comes out, and look for research that can make a difference in their lives. That'll conclude this segment of our penultimate show. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, Dr. Steve Hooper and myself will talk in a conversation about what it means for Your Health Matters to really engage in conversation. You're listening to Your Health. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
UNC Family Medicine's number 2 ranked national program is rapidly transforming healthcare through excellence in teaching, clinical care, and research. To participate in UNC Family Medicine's efforts to move innovative ideas into action, call 919-843-5112 or email yourhealth@unc.edu.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of 97.9 The Hill and UNC Family Medicine. And now, more of Your Health.
UNC Family Medicine's number 2 ranked national program is rapidly transforming healthcare through excellence in teaching, clinical care, and research. To participate in UNC Family Medicine's efforts to move innovative ideas into action, call 919-843-5112 or email yourhealth@unc.edu.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of UNC Family Medicine. Now, more of Your Health.
Welcome back to Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein.
And on today's conversations, really welcoming back Dr. Steve Hooper from UNC Allied Health, the dean and one of our great guest co-hosts over the last 3 years. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Adam. And would you put that in writing, please?
I will. I'll tell all your family members first and then all the leaders in the healthcare system. We thought it'd be fun to actually just have a conversation ourselves about different elements of your health over the last number of years that maybe aren't as obvious to listeners, but maybe equally fascinating. What should we talk about?
Well, in The Wizard of Oz, when they were going to the Yellow Brick Road, she said, "Where do I begin?" And the wizard said, "You begin at the beginning." And I think that going back 12 years, you had some core principles and values that drove this show. And I think maybe sharing some of those and how they changed or maybe how they haven't changed would be important to share.
You know, I appreciate that, Steve. And, you know, when Dr. Christy Page, who will be our co-host for our last show next week, and I really got together to think about the show, we decided that, you know, there was no radio platform delivering evidence-based, primary care-centric, compassionate access to experts involving public health and clinical medicine available on a weekly basis anywhere in the country. And we wanted to bring that platform to the public, a little bit unscripted, a little bit in your living room perhaps, but also really a voice that people could trust and maybe make differences in their lives.
The amazing thing about that is this is one of those tried and true formulas that I'm really glad hasn't changed. It really has been evidence-based. It's been primary care-driven. It's been consumer-friendly. And I think, interestingly, from an academic perspective, you've actually hit research, service, and education, and probably most importantly, public policy and consumer awareness of what's going on with their health.
When we first started, we came up with what we called signature segments. One of them was Research That Matters. And it was really designed, it either had to have a basis into doing something that would improve your health if you weren't doing it, or maybe stopping something if you were doing it because it didn't improve your health. Did it make a difference perhaps in people's lives? And then we would have the conversation segment, really looking for a guest. They could be UNC faculty, faculty from that other university down the street. It could be faculty from across the world. It could be people who weren't faculty, but patients or experts in public health, whatever it might be, that were so passionate about what they were doing that bringing their voice to your health listeners was something that we'd be proud of. And then finally, thinking about house calls, we were always interested in the day-to-day practice of medicine. What did people want to know? What were the questions that came to them? And we found those so interesting in our daily lives that we said we hope listeners would find them interesting as well.
I really appreciated that as I've been involved in the last 3 years. And I think the one thing that, from my perspective, that we don't want to sort of underestimate, and that is the impact that you've had and this show has had on the listenership. I think the issues have been front and center, always focused on those core principles of evidence-based primary care. I also think the knowledge that's been shared has been quite extensive and quite vast. Just in my shows that I've done, we've covered 21st and 22nd century technology and how it applies to healthcare. We've covered sort of contemporary issues such as pain management. And I also think that all of that together, just as a few examples, really stimulate thinking and hopefully help some of our listeners in their own sort of management of their healthcare.
You know, Steve, in reflection over the last 11 going into the 12th year, we produced almost 500 shows. And if you think about how many thousands of hours this represents of listenership and over 1,500 research articles that we've discussed and 1,500 house calls on commoner listener concerns, maybe we've repeated ourselves once or twice. But I think the reality is the issues that come up are what people hear about, maybe they need to hear about and grapple with. So, for instance, we think about climate change.
we're no different than our listeners. We worry about it for our children. We worry about it for ourselves, and we want to do something about it. And so we would be interested in looking for guests that would take that seriously. And lo and behold, we are able to get a Pulitzer Prize winner, Laurie Garrett, onto the show, who really was reporting on this. And we're starting with Ebola and then moving on to different climate change. We were able to get Jennifer Leaning, probably the foremost internist in the country, who talked about the health effects of armed conflict and extending conversations, things that are important and that maybe we don't even think about enough, much less our listeners.
So you've opened up a door here that I'd like to put you on the spot. And you've had all of these guests and all these topics over the last 12 years. Are there any specifically that sort of stand out in your mind in terms of their expertise or their personality, their interactions, anything that pops up?
You know, I think we've been really privileged. We've had not only Pulitzer Prize winners, we've had Nobel laureates, we've had editors of some of the major journals, CEO of foundations, chancellors at UNC, deans, division chiefs, really public health experts of all sorts. And I think always the guests that sometimes are the best are the ones that are so excited about things that you become passionate about them. Years ago, we had one of your faculty members, a young faculty member who talked about deafness and had one of the first surgeries to help cure deafness, cochlear implants. And it let me understand just how important it was to hear, to listen. Your health was an audio platform, and yet we maybe don't take into account. And then when my mother of blessed memory, towards the end of her life, really had lost most of her hearing, how important it was for her to be able to make that connection and understanding the relations between dementia and hearing. And so things like that, just they're so exciting. The topics of racism today affecting healthcare, when I hear them and I see the impacts on society, and it makes me angry and I want to do something about it. And one of the voices I can have is bringing guests on the show to share what they know and maybe make a small difference in people's lives.
I think it's been absolutely an amazing run in that respect. I will say personally, I selfishly have very much appreciated the platform for showcasing the health professions, particularly many of those in my department, occupational therapy, physical therapy, our new physician assistance program, audiology that you mentioned. We've had multiple guests on with audiology over the years. Also, rehabilitation counseling, radiologic science, clinical laboratory science, all of these opportunities to be able to share sort of the interprofessional workings of a larger healthcare environment, this integrative health that we talk about today. I think you've been able, and this show's been able to be a platform to showcase and be a forerunner for having conversations about value-based care and integrative health.
Appreciate that, Steve. One of the things that's been most fun sometimes is, again, this unexpected. So we had a wonderful interview with a faculty member at Vanderbilt a number of years ago who was doing great work with kids with autism and Asperger's and actually bringing drama and getting them involved in plays. And we had a young patient of theirs that actually sang for us on the show, a young woman with autism singing. It was so exciting, so innovative, and offering such hope. I remember we had the director of ALS at Duke University, because I had some patients that were dying and had died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and I was just so struck by how hopeless it was. And yet, when the director came on, all he really talked about was new research and offering hope for people. And so voices that offer inspiration, hope, healing, faith even, these are the voices that I like.
Well, thank you, Adam. I think maybe we need to take a short break now.
Sounds good to me.
When we return, we'll continue talking about your health. You're listening to Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Stephen Hooper. We'll be back in a minute.
Your Health is supported by UNC Health Sciences Library and NC Health Info, working together to connect people everywhere with knowledge to improve health. Visit nchealthinfo.org for answers you can trust.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of 97.9 The Hill and UNC Family Medicine. And now, more of Your Health.
UNC Family Medicine's number 2 ranked national program is rapidly transforming healthcare through excellence in teaching, clinical care, and research. To participate in UNC Family Medicine's efforts to move innovative ideas into action, call 919-843-5112 or email yourhealth@unc.edu.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of UNC Family Medicine. Now, more of Your Health.
Welcome back to Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein. And on today's conversations, really welcoming back Dr. Steve Hooper from UNC Allied Health, the dean and one of our great guest co-hosts over the last 3 years. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Adam. And would you put that in writing, please?
I will. I'll tell all your family members first and then all the leaders in the healthcare system. We thought it'd be fun to actually just have a conversation ourselves about different elements of your health over the last number of years that maybe aren't as obvious to listeners, but maybe equally fascinating. What should we talk about?
Well, in The Wizard of Oz, when they were going to the Yellow Brick Road, she said, "Where do I begin?" And the wizard said, "You begin at the beginning." And I think that going back 12 years, you had some core principles and values that drove this show. And I think maybe sharing some of those and how they changed or maybe how they haven't changed would be important to share.
You know, I appreciate that, Steve. And, you know, when Dr. Christy Page, who will be our co-host for our last show next week, and I really got together to think about the show, we decided that, you know, there was no radio platform delivering evidence-based, primary care-centric, compassionate access to experts involving public health and clinical medicine available on a weekly basis anywhere in the country. And we wanted to bring that platform to the public, a little bit unscripted, a little bit in your living room perhaps, but also really a voice that people could trust and maybe make differences in their lives.
The amazing thing about that is this is one of those tried and true formulas that I'm really glad hasn't changed. It really has been evidence-based. It's been primary care-driven. It's been consumer-friendly. And I think, interestingly, from an academic perspective, you've actually hit research, service, and education, and probably most importantly, public policy and consumer awareness of what's going on with their health.
When we first started, we came up with what we called signature segments. One of them was Research That Matters. And it was really designed, it either had to have a basis into doing something that would improve your health if you weren't doing it, or maybe stopping something if you were doing it because it didn't improve your health. Did it make a difference perhaps in people's lives? And then we would have the conversation segment, really looking for a guest. They could be UNC faculty, faculty from that other university down the street. It could be faculty from across the world. It could be people who weren't faculty, but patients or experts in public health, whatever it might be, that were so passionate about what they were doing that bringing their voice to Your Health listeners was something that we'd be proud of. And then finally, thinking about house calls, we were always interested in the day-to-day practice of medicine. What did people want to know? What were the questions that came to them? And we found those so interesting in our daily lives that we said we hope listeners would find them interesting as well.
I really appreciated that as I've been involved in the last 3 years. And I think the one thing that, from my perspective, that we don't want to sort of underestimate, and that is the impact that you've had and this show has had on the listenership. I think the issues have been front and center, always focused on those core principles of evidence-based primary care. I also think the knowledge that's been shared has been quite extensive and quite vast. Just in my shows that I've done, we've covered 21st and 22nd century technology and how it applies to healthcare. We've covered sort of contemporary issues such as pain management. And I also think that all of that together, just as a few examples, really stimulate thinking and hopefully help some of our listeners in their own sort of management of their healthcare.
You know, Steve, in reflection over the last 11 going into the 12th year, we produced almost 500 shows. And if you think about how many thousands of hours this represents of listenership and over 1,500 research articles that we've discussed and 1,500 house calls on commoner listener concerns, maybe we've repeated ourselves once or twice, but I think the reality is the issues that come up are what people hear about, maybe they need to hear about and grapple with. So for instance, we think about climate change. We're no different than our listeners. We worry about it for our children. We worry about it for ourselves, and we want to do something about it. And so we would be interested in looking for guests that would take that seriously. And lo and behold, we are able to get a Pulitzer Prize winner, Laurie Garrett, onto the show, who really was reporting on this. And we're starting with Ebola and then moving on to different climate change. We were able to get Jennifer Leaning, probably the foremost internist in the country, who talked about the health effects of armed conflict and extending conversations, things that are important and that maybe we don't even think about enough, much less our listeners.
So you've opened up a door here that I'd like to put you on the spot. And you've had all of these guests and all these topics over the last 12 years. Are there any specifically that sort of stand out in your mind in terms of their expertise or their personality, their interactions, anything that pops up?
You know, I think we've been really privileged. We've had not only Pulitzer Prize winners, we've had Nobel laureates, we've had editors of some of the major journals, CEO of foundations, chancellors at UNC, deans, division chiefs, really public health experts of all sorts. And I think always the guests that sometimes are the best are the ones that are so excited about things that you become passionate about them. Years ago, we had one of your faculty members, a young faculty member who talked about deafness and had one of the first surgeries to help cure deafness, cochlear implants. And it let me understand just how important it was to hear, to listen. Your health was an audio platform. And yet we maybe don't take into account. And then when my mother, of blessed memory, towards the end of her life, really had lost most of her hearing, how important it was for her to be able to make that connection and understanding the relationship between dementia and hearing. And so things like that, just they're so exciting. The topics of racism today affecting healthcare, when I hear them and I see the impacts on society, and it makes me angry and I want to do something about it. And one of the voices I can have is bringing guests on the show to share what they know and maybe make a small difference in people's lives.
I think it's been absolutely an amazing run in that respect. I will say personally, I selfishly have very much appreciated the platform for showcasing the health professions, particularly many of those in my department, occupational therapy, physical therapy, our new physician assistance program, audiology that you mentioned. We've had multiple guests on with audiology over the years. Also, rehabilitation counseling, radiologic science, clinical laboratory science, all of these opportunities to be able to share sort of the interprofessional workings of a larger healthcare environment, this integrative health that we talk about today. I think you've been able, and this show's been able to be a platform to showcase and be a forerunner for having conversations about value-based care and integrative health.
Appreciate that, Steve. One of the things that's been most fun sometimes is, again, this unexpected. So we had a wonderful interview with a faculty member at Vanderbilt a number of years ago who was doing great work with kids with autism and Asperger's and actually bringing drama and getting them involved in plays. And we had a young patient of theirs that actually sang for us on the show, a young woman with autism singing. It was so exciting, so innovative, and offering such hope. I remember we had the director of ALS at Duke University, because I had some patients that were dying and had died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and I was just so struck by how hopeless it was. And yet, when the director came on, all he really talked about was new research and offering hope for people. And so voices that offer inspiration, hope, healing, faith even, these are the voices that I like.
Well, thank you, Adam. I think maybe we need to take a short break now.
Sounds good to me.
When we return, we'll continue talking about your health. You're listening to Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Stephen Hooper. We'll be back in a minute.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of 97.9 The Hill and UNC Family Medicine. And now, more of Your Health.
Welcome back to Your Health for the penultimate show. We've actually had a opportunity to talk a little bit behind the scenes of the research that matters. We've had a behind the scenes with conversations, and really want to thank Dr. Stephen Hooper, who's been a great co-host. And we have an opportunity now with Laura Lacey, who's been our executive producer for the last several years of the show, and only the third of our executive producers ever over a dozen years, to talk a little bit about behind the scenes of producing the radio show, kind of the house calls of the radio show, as well as how the house calls themselves really came to be. Welcome to Your Health penultimate show, Laura.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, even if my voice is a little out of whack from a recent cold, but hopefully it'll last the last segment here.
I think most of our listeners really don't fully understand how a show is put together.
Yeah.
You know, we have from the origins talked about, you know, four segments of our show. This is producing close to a 40-minute show every single week, week after week, year after year. That's not an insignificant production and production time as for an executive producer. What does an executive producer even do?
Well, you know, that's something that I've also learned a lot about since I started here. When I first started working with you, I didn't actually have any radio experience. I had television, I had print, I had web, but this was my first radio experience, which was a really great opportunity for me to put some of those storytelling muscles to work in a different medium. So what we do is just basically find guests. You know, I'll find them with some things that interest me. You'll share some guests with me that you have that you think are interesting, and put that together, come up with articles for you to look at, come up with questions for you to answer. And then after that's all over, I'll go through and edit it and cut it down to the appropriate time length and make sure that everybody can be heard and understood. And I tend to be generous by cutting out any ums that I hear that are easy to cut out. And
let me ask you a question.
including my own. I say that including my own, because during house calls, I tend to throw a few ums and likes in sometimes. So,
well, I think one of the things our listeners may not be aware of, but hopefully they can appreciate it, is we've always thought about this as trying to do it almost like live radio.
Yeah.
We wanted to stretch that boundary. Because of our schedules as practicing clinicians, physicians, it was really difficult to get in here and do live and get it all the guests live. But we wanted to be pretty right on track. And so we wouldn't tape very far in advance. Several days, maybe a week or two before a show. So it was current. And then we could put it together and always be prepared to have shows on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was something that was an interesting challenge sometimes, to make sure that we had enough shows recorded that we could take a few weeks off meeting in the studio but still have them run on the weekends.
Let's say during summer, so that people could have vacations.
Yeah.
And we could still manage to produce these shows. And what's also just a lot of fun is that it was rare that we made serious mistakes.
I think that is, you know, you think of the show, I think that we also brought a commitment to trying to find good information to share with people that is, my background in journalism, I think I can respect what we've done here in terms of that.
Well, and when we think about what we need to edit, when we're going live, you don't really edit out very much.
No.
And historically, over a dozen years, we had very few things that we really had to edit.
No, not a ton of things. You know, the editing process, there were times, especially if we ran long, because some of our conversations, you just get, you know, you can get so into them that you end up with 50 minutes of audio for a 40-minute show. So then, yes, I would have to edit, but that was more for length.
Well, because some of our guests are so excited.
Yeah,
with. When you're talking with Pulitzer Prize winners, when you're talking with
it's hard
deans,
to wrap
you're
that
talking
up.
To CEOs, you're talking to the editors of major journals, the experts in the world.
Yeah,
you want to keep talking.
Yeah, and so you know, in those instances, sometimes as I was editing, I tried to leave a lot of those conversations with these amazing guests in. So I might cut out a house call question here or there. You know, those are the kinds of things that, if we had a time crunch, might have to be sacrificed for longer conversations with some of our amazing guests. But in terms of really hardcore editing, I don't think that we had to do that with the show, which was really, it made it a joy to go back and work on them.
Let's talk about our house calls themselves, because we've done over 1,500 house calls.
It's a lot.
1,500 listener-generated questions. And, you know, these questions are ones we would oftentimes be talking about. Well, what are the questions we're going to talk about today? Let's just talk for a moment about questions that come up, because the reality is every single day I get questions from mm-hmm. patients. I get questions from family members. I get questions that I want to have answered. These are the real questions, real situations mm-hmm. that are the things that we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember when I sprained my ankle about a year and a half ago. I'm pretty sure there was a sprained ankle question that day on house calls, because I sort of used this as a time to get my own questions answered too. And so it was definitely inspired from a lot of people, including myself, and I think you.
I remember once, probably in the second or third year, I was at a family event with my siblings, and I said, you know, we're on this new show, and we've been doing these things, house calls, questions from listeners. What kind of questions would you all have that we could talk on a show? Well,
you got a lot.
We had about eight questions that we were able to do. They weren't all technically patients, but they were all patients.
Yeah.
And the reality is, these are the kinds of questions that come into a family doctor, many of which we may know partial answers, but many times, just like when patients are in the examination, we look up together and we mm-hmm. talk about, you know, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm. I'm only really disappointed to know that, you know, my daughter turned 6 months old this week, and you're going to now avoid all the parenting house call questions that I'm going to have. I'm just going to have to text you or email you personally and be like, Adam, I have a house call.
Yeah, I noticed that we were starting to get a lot more pediatric and infant.
Yeah,
and
right.
We had a lot of pregnant-related
now it's switching.
That went into,
yeah.
You know, we have to really first off say thank you, Laura. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you.
The three executive producers, Julie mm-hmm. Steiner, Daniel Lane, and now you over the time, because the work that you all have done in really preparing and delivering the research that matters and the conversations and finding and booking guests and getting things done and producing and editing and then delivering and then helping the syndication. It's holy work. It's work that was behind the scenes, but it was critical to the success of this endeavor. And we really do want to say thank you.
Well, on behalf of the other two producers, who I think, you know, I don't know your first one, but I do know Dan Lane. And I think that I can say thank you for including us in this, because it's been a real pleasure to work on.
Well, that's going to bring to an end this penultimate show. We're going to be able to look forward to our last show next week, where we have a special guest co-host, Dr. Christy Page.
Yeah, just it's like on a television show where they bring back all the stars or something right before it ends, right?
Well, Dr. Christy Page, as everyone knows, was a co-host, co-founder, really the regular co-host with myself mm-hmm. for the first 7 or 8 years of the show. And Christy will be back, and we'll have a chance to reflect, talk, laugh, maybe cry, who knows?
Yeah.
We also want to let our listeners know that if you want to communicate with us about your experiences with the show, you certainly can. You can send us an email mm-hmm. at yourhealth@unc.edu. That's yourhealth@unc.edu. You can also DM us. You can send us through our Twitter or our Facebook feed. If you do Your Health Radio on these, you'll come across our Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Send us a message. Post us a message. Let us know. If you want to communicate to the leadership of the Department of Family Medicine and UNC Healthcare, feel free. Let them know things that you've enjoyed, because they have been supporters of this. They mm-hmm. have really been the reason why we were able to do this, and we are entirely grateful. We will put a bookmark in this conversation, mm-hmm. but we'll say tune in next week for our final show. We're going to continue to have our blog up our so that people can still look and see. We've got a surprise, be able to talk about some of the ways that blog operates and how mm-hmm. that page operates, and hopefully talk with our librarians and what they've done and the amazing work. But until we talk with you again next week, we'll say thank you to our listeners. Thank you to everyone for supporting the radio show, including our great partners at WCHL. We'll have mm-hmm. a chance to thank them even more. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Take care.
The purpose of Your Health Radio is to educate listeners on healthcare issues. Listeners should always discuss their own health or medical concerns with their personal physician or other healthcare provider. Your health is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
You've been listening to Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page on 97.9 The Hill, presented by UNC Family Medicine. You can find this or any other episode of Your Health on demand at chapelboro.com. Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page on 97.9 The Hill, your community radio station.